the power and the results of this doctrine. How on earth can such nonsense, such dreamy nonsense, get such a grip? And the Pope has got a very interesting threefold answer, 15, 16, 17, and 18. 15, 16, again, very important. The messianism of materialism. Communism is the means of giving to materialism a messianic clout. How can matter be messianic? Well, only Jews could think of how to do it. But communism is what the Jews came up with as a means of making matter messianic. Grand promises and skillful exploitation of real ills of the working class. Again, remember, lower class against the middle class. Communism is the exploitation of the failings of the middle class, the materialism precisely of the middle class, the lack of vision, the lack of crusade, the plastics. It's the rising up of human nature's deep need against plastics. It's the rising up, using the working class as a lever against the middle class in order to overthrow the final remains of Christian civilization. That's what it is. So they use the working class, real ills of the working class by the fault of the middle class. The middle class has not looked after the working class as Leo XIII told it to do, and the result is the working class have been abandoned in various ways, and the result is an opening for the communists to exploit. There are real ills of the working class, the industrialism, what gave rise to the trade unions, the strikes, and so on. And they're skillfully exploited by these grand and beautiful promises of communism. Also, it's a skillful exploitation of the willful neglect by economic liberalism of religion and morals. Liberalism despises and neglects religion and morals. It just pursues money or economics. And therefore, there's a great gap there in people's lives. There's a lack of vision, a lack of crusade, a lack of meaning, a lack of value, a lack of purpose. And that's the vacuum into which communism rushes with its great vision of a messianic materialism. So that's the first and deepest reason, much the deepest reason. Whenever you are, the deep reason is always religious. And the deep reason in most things in today's world is the lack of a real religion, the lack of Catholicism. Because there are only two possibilities. Either Catholicism is important, and in that case, if you leave it, if you drop it, you're going to be in a mess. Or if you drop it because it isn't important, if you drop it on the grounds that you can do perfectly well without. Because it isn't important. What am I trying to say? Either the modern world is a great success, and in that case Catholicism is not important. It's just an alternative sideshow, an optional extra. Or Catholicism is serious and important, in which case the modern world is completely wrong. There are only those two possibilities. But it's impossible both that the modern world should be right and Catholicism should be right. It's not possible. It's one or the other. Most people think the modern world is right. They think that the system is wonderful. They think that we've never had such prosperity and such skill and such technology and so on and so on. And therefore, Catholicism, yeah, but it's a bit out of date, really. A bit unnecessary. That's one version. Or, if you take your faith seriously, then the modern world is heading for a major fall. There are only those two possibilities. It's impossible for the modern world to be good and for Catholicism to be serious. It's not possible for the both things to be true. So there is in fact a great vacuum left by plastics, and that's what a religious vacuum left by the glorification of plastics, and communism is rushing into that religious vacuum. Secondly, a diabolical propaganda, says Pius XI. A satanic propaganda machine, and that's the media, not only the media, has all money and all the media at its disposal. Actually, the propaganda machine is, of course, in Moscow. It's a tremendous, what do they call it? I've the Politburo, no, I don't understand. But
the International.
The International.
Comintern.
Comintern. In any case, a propaganda machine. I mean, the communists are masters of propaganda. They're masters at lying, because they don't believe in truth. And they've got no scruples about lying. And they absolutely believe in their crusade. They don't believe in truth, and they do believe in their crusade. It's going to make them masters of lying.
Couldn't you today say this is CNN and the three big networks?
Yes, yeah. Exactly the same. Exactly the same. If the media are such good liars, it's because they absolutely believe in their crusade to bring in a better world than the old, silly old Christian fascist colonial world. They're bringing in a better, new, technological, advanced world, which is at last going to sweep away all the traces of this silly old world that's still lingering around. That they absolutely believe in their world, and they don't believe in truth, so they've got no scruples about telling lies. So, for the mechanism of the propaganda machine, go to George Orwell 1984, famous book. George Orwell 1984, read that book. And I always remember where Malcolm Muggeridge knew George Orwell, and I knew Malcolm Muggeridge at one stage, and he told me that George Orwell told him, Malcolm Muggeridge, where he, George Orwell, got the idea from for the tremendous propaganda machine of 1984. Had George Orwell studied Russia? That's not where he came for the idea from. Perhaps George Orwell studied the networks and the media here in the United States. That's not what he got the idea from.
Propaganda defeated?
No, not Rome. The British Broadcasting Corporation. George Orwell worked for the BBC, and that's where he understood how modern propaganda works. And that's where he understood 1984. That's where he got 1984 from. So the British Broadcasting Corporation was operating on communist principles even then, ways back in the 1940s. The way in which the British propaganda machine lied for purposes of the Second World War. George Orwell was inside and knew it and watched it. And how you can fool the modern public with the media. A diabolical, but the satanic, the communist propaganda machine is properly satanic. But the BBC, you'd have to say, was satanic. These modern media are satanic. They're instruments of the devil to brainwash millions of people at a time. And it's very skillfully done. They're past masters. It's incredible. They don't believe in truth. And they do believe in achieving their purposes. And therefore, they're entitled to say what they like. The only value of truth is that you need to resemble it a bit in order to deceive people. You can't depart too far from what the silly bourgeois think is truth, or the silly goyim think is truth, because if you depart too far, you'll lose your effect. So you've got to imitate the truth, but it's only an imitation of the truth. This propaganda machine in Moscow has all the money and all the media at its disposal. The media, not only in Russia, but the media throughout the Western nations, all of the liberal Western media were working for communism, big time, big time. Thirdly, the press, again it comes back to the media, is keeping on communism a conspiratorial silence. That's the Western media are silent about the crimes of communism, silent about the delinquencies of communism. The Western media scream about the Holocaust, scream about the crimes of Nazism. But as Patrick Buchanan keeps pointing out, the crimes of Nazism were small beer compared with the crimes of communism. And yet our media are constantly banging away at Nazism, silence about the crimes of communism. So the media are in the game because the media are run by the messianists of materialism, in sync with communism. Famous example, Will Durante, who was a famous New York journalist in the 1930s. He went over to Russia and he glorified everything that was going on. When there was the gigantic famine, organized famine, killing millions of peasants in the Ukraine. And that was going on, and he came back and said everything is wonderful. He won the Pulitzer Prize for everything he said. Same thing happened in England, the Red Dean. A churchman of the Church of England went over to Russia and said everything was wonderful. George Bernard Shaw went over to Russia and said everything was wonderful. It's the blindness. Such blindness is a punishment of God. So the West is punished by God with its inability to see what's going on. They're completely lacking in the spiritual dimension, and therefore they all glorify the crusade of materialism because they've got no understanding of the spirit. And if you have to, therefore they all come to think, if you have to break a few eggs in order to make an omelette, if you have to terrorize a few millions of population, a few hundred millions of population, and kill a few hundred millions as well, that's all right in order to establish a revolution. French Revolution was the same thing, you may remember, I think I've said. If we have to kill half the population of France, it's a small price to pay for the triumph of our ideas. They all have the same mentality. And now the globalists, we need to eliminate 9/10 of the population of the world in order to stop polluting the earth. Same mentality. Same mentality. So there is the triple reason why communism succeeds. It's, firstly, its religious character, its substitute religious character. Secondly, diabolically skillful propaganda. And thirdly, the silent media of those who ought to not be silent. Diabolical propaganda from Moscow and silent media in the West. The treachery of the Western media is unbelievable. The vileness is unbelievable, but only a Catholic can see it. If you haven't got the spiritual way of looking at things from God's point of view, the media are fine. They're doing a good job of moving mankind forward into a better system. People are blind because they've turned their backs on God. So what's the result of communism, 19 to 24? The result, wherever communism gains control, all religion is eradicated, of course, because that's the spiritual thing which must be crushed and smashed to make way for the messianism of matter. And if a priest is good, if you've got a good Catholic priest working amongst the people and proving that the Catholic Church really does look after the people and solving in the spiritual way the working class's problems, such priests have got to be got rid of. And communism will murder them, as it often has done. Or it will get, of course, the superiors inside the Catholic Church to yank them. Because communism, through Freemasonry and else, has means of operating inside the church. So, but in any case, it's got to paralyze. The real Catholic Church has got to be crippled before the communists are free to operate. All churches, convents, art and civilization are furiously destroyed. The Pope had at last had his eyes open to that in Spain. Not only in Mexico, but also in Spain, especially in 1936. The horrors of the beginning of the war in Spain. The natural product of communism, 21-22. This horror and destruction and murder and slaughter is the natural and inevitable result of godlessness. It's not an unfortunate accident that communism does these things. On the very principles of communism, it's natural for it to do these things. It's the natural and not the unnatural result of communism. It's the natural and inevitable result of a deliberate and thorough revolt of the Antichrist against religion. A deliberate and thorough revolt of the Antichrist against religion. And so, let no one say that such horrors are alien to communism. They're the inevitable result of communism's principles. If it's communism's anti-spiritual, anti-God, we're all just bundles of chemistry principles. It's the natural product of Judeo-Masonry, 23-24. Communist Russia has advanced only through the villains imposing slavery. An argument in the 1920s and 30s about how wonderful communism was based on the economic advance of Russia. And the Pope says any economic advance inside these communist countries is only by slavery, like in China today. China's economic uprise is based upon millions in slave labor. Millions of men in slave labor. We accuse, 24, not the Russian people, but the international conspirators. And you've got there in 24, the Pope doesn't name them. He doesn't name Judeo-Masonry. In making these observations, it is no part of our intention to condemn or mass the peoples of the Soviet Union. For them we cherish the warmest paternal affection. We are well aware that not a few of the peoples of the Soviet Union groan beneath the yoke imposed upon them by men who in very large part are strangers to the real interests of the country. If you know how to read between the lines, you know exactly who that is. International financiers. We recognize that many others were deceived by fallacious hopes. We blame only the system with its authors and abettors who considered Russia the best prepared field for experimenting with a plan elaborated decades ago. And who from there continue to spread it from one end of the world to the other. At least as old as the protocols, the plan, the game plan to dominate the world, subjugate the world. How many of you know the protocols of the elders of Sion? If you get hold of it, everyone, you ought all to know the protocols. It's the blueprint for the 20th century. As Henry Ford said, I don't know if it's authentic. All I know is that it corresponds exactly to what's happening. Because, of course, it purports, the document purports to be a report of a secret meeting by a number of Jews for Jewish world domination. The Jews have said it's a forgery, it's not authentic, it's bogus. Henry Ford says, as for the arguments of authenticity or who wrote it or whatever, I don't know. All I know, he said, it's exactly what's going on all around us, and it's been going on ever since. Read the protocols to see. So it's frightening. Frightening. I was saying earlier, I think, that the protocols got out was a gift of God to the 20th century. If the 20th century wanted, if people in the 20th century wanted to know what's going on, it's there. It's there. And these conspirators are very cunning. They hide. They're wicked. They hide. And Christians aren't meant to be cunning, and they aren't meant to know how to work amongst these, be as innocent as doves, says our Lord. So, well, then how can the Christians defend themselves against such wicked and deep-dyed conspirators? Well, the Lord God just every now and again pulls them out of their cover. He pulls out something. And that's enough to show, if only the Christians wanted to know what was going on, there it is. But they don't want to know what's going on. They're quite happy with the comfort and prosperity that the elders of Sion provide. Which the elders of Sion push into all our minds like a pacifier, and there the goyim, the dumb goyim, sit sucking on sports and money and vacations and all of these dumb materialistic pleasures. And the people are happy with those, and so they don't want to ask questions, and they don't want to be told that Oklahoma was an inside job. They don't want to question their wonderful government. They don't want to question their wonderful democratic way. Leave me alone. I'm happy sleeping, and I prefer to sleep. Don't wake me up. Don't tell me that there's some frightening plan behind everything that's going on in today's world. I don't want to know. So, of course, they don't know then. But if they do want to know, it's all there. It's there if they want to know. God makes sure it's there. But God won't rub our noses in the truth. We've got to choose whether we want the truth or not. If you don't want it, says God, all right. But if you do want it, I've made it accessible. There it is. Catholic teaching. It's not difficult to lay out how the Catholic Church opposes all of this. And notice the same order then, of course. God, man, family, society, and state. Notice especially the prolonged teaching on society. We were saying earlier, it's this false doctrine of society by which the enemies of the Church are above all attacking. And therefore the Church in the 19th and 20th centuries had to, between 1800 and 1950, had to make very clear her social teaching. Which is why these encyclicals are sometimes called the social teaching of the Church. They're sometimes also called the social encyclicals. Because they teach especially about the true nature of society. Because that's where the enemy is attacking. You defend where the enemy attacks. You don't defend where the enemy isn't attacking. Communism doesn't attack on the one person and two natures of our Lord Jesus Christ. Obviously not. Because that's to take our Lord Jesus Christ much too seriously. They just go right round him by saying that God is nonsense, period. All spirituality is nonsense, period. So you won't bother about the doctrine of one person and two natures. So the Church hasn't got to defend one person and two natures. It has got to defend against materialism and a complete falsification of the nature of society and the nature of the state. One supreme being, God, creator and judge of all men, exists. Man has a spiritual, immortal soul. That's the point. You see, and when the poor goofy little graduate from the California University is looking around the world to see where he's going to take his life, something in him is looking for something. Something. And then this dark-suited, impressive, tanned guru plays undoubtedly a tremendous game of golf. Plastics. Goofy, just, you know, I mean, just gets even goofier at that point. So, man has a spiritual immortal soul sanctified by grace, or to be sanctified by grace, with God-given natural rights, accompanied with God-given duties. And every duty has an accompanying right. It would be better to say God-given natural duties, but for modern people you say, you mention the rights. That's something they understand better. Both marriage and family have a constitution and prerogatives laid down by God. The nature of the family, the nature, it comes from God. It's not an invention of man, and it doesn't come from the state. It was laid down in the Garden of Eden by the structure that God gave to Adam and Eve and the children they would have. God made man also for society. Every little blue ring has a green semicircle inside. And every, you put the four boys on the four corners of the field, within 10 minutes all four boys are together. No question about it. And within another 2 minutes one of them is leader. That's just built into human nature. God made man also for society, to make him happy on earth and to develop his gifts. And men will make one another happy by putting what gifts God has given them complementarily with everybody else's gifts to work together. Both natural gifts in society and supernatural gifts in the mystical body of Christ. Not all are apostles, not all are doctors, not all, says St. Paul. But some have the gift of healing, some have the gift of speech, some have the gift of, says St. Paul in his epistles. Relations of society to men. As man must respect society's authority, so society must respect man's God-given rights. In other words, the individual has rights and society has rights. The individual has duties and society has duties. And there's a balance to be struck between the rights of society. You don't hear about that today. All you hear about today is the rights of the individual, the rights of the individual, the rights. No, in Catholicism, society also has rights. For instance, society has a right to execute criminals, capital punishment. It's a right of society. Papal encyclicals of 1891 and 1931 explain capital labor relations. That's a particular problem of the economic order. And Leo XIII, Rerum Novarum, 1891, Pius XI, Quadragesimo Anno, 1931. The popes have gone into those questions and given the Catholic solution. The latter, 1931, showed the true solution of today's problems between the classes, the aristocracy against the king, the middle class against aristocracy, the lower class against the middle class. The solution is always Catholic justice and charity. It's not let the aristocrats fight back against the middle class. It's let the aristocrats practice justice and charity. Let the middle class practice justice and charity. Let the lower class practice justice and charity. The whole thing will, all of the cogs will perfectly happily interact. Everybody will do what he does best and everybody will be happy in his station of life. People do have stations in life. And there are higher stations in life and there are lower stations in life. It's just the way things are. That doesn't mean to say that I despise somebody in a lower station of life. On the contrary. Charity and justice means that I will look after somebody in a lower station of life. It's my duty for which I will answer when I go in front of my Maker. I'm not given a higher station in life in order to bully and oppress anybody else. I'm given in order to put that highest station of life at the service. The Son of Man came not to minister, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And I give you this example at the Last Supper of washing the feet of his disciples. This is God washing the feet of his disciples. Not washing the hands, washing the feet of his disciples. That's the Catholic Church's answer. And if only the aristocrats look at our Lord washing feet, and the kings look at our Lord washing feet, and the middle class look at our Lord washing feet, and the lower class look at our Lord washing feet, they can't fight after that. With an example like that, you can't. Who wants to be top dog after that? I mean, who's going to use his top position in order to, you know. But the solutions of Jesus Christ are the solutions, period. Especially his example and his teaching. Finally, the state. Leo XIII showed how the origin, obligations, and relations of the state to man are all from God. In other words, the family structure is from God. The state's, society's prerogatives, duties, privileges, structure are from God. And communism wants to change all of that, completely change and revolutionize all of that, overthrow it, especially overthrow hierarchy. What happens when Russia says, we're going to have no more classes in this country, we're going to get rid of the aristocracy, and they shoot, kill, and exile all the aristocrats? What happens within a few years later?
Well, I mean, the party becomes the aristocrats.
The Communist Party become the new aristocrats. They're called the nomenklatura. They have all of the foreign exchange. They have special access. It's 1 or 2% of the population. have special privileged access to the shops with Western goods. This is how it was for tens of years, dozens of years in the Soviet Union. What happens in the United States when the revolutionaries say, we're going to have no more classes? It's in the Constitution. There's going to be no more classes in this country. We're all going to be equal. There's going to be no upper class, or middle class, or lower class. What happens in the United States? You have your eastern coast liberal establishment. You have a ruling class. Inside the Beltway, it's a ruling class with privileges which they all now want to protect. Why are the Republicans going to do hardly lift a little finger to impeach Clinton? Answer, because the Republicans are all enjoying his gravy train, the gravy train that he's set rolling. They're not going to upset that gravy train. They could impeach Clinton. I mean, Clinton obviously could be attacked left, right, and center. Why does it not happen? Why do the Republicans not make it happen? Because they don't want to get rid of Clinton, because they're enjoying his gravy train. It's a new privileged class, just as bad as, if not worse than, the previous ruling class. Because the previous ruling class was at least quasi-godly, at any rate in Russia. The new ruling class, the nomenklatura, is absolutely godless. So the new ruling class really oppresses the people. The Beltway really oppresses the United States. Today's Beltway, bop, bop, bop. See how blind people are. In this country, we're going to have now no more kings, no more ruling classes, we're going to have liberty and equality for all, and in comes a whole new, even worse, oppressive system. And they're too blind to see it. Well, the power and results of Catholicism. This doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ harmonizes the rights and duties of all. It guarantees even material prosperity. Because the Catholic Church teaches people to work. It teaches people to be selfless. It teaches parents to look after their children, to lay up for their children. It teaches people not to go for the pleasures of today at the expense of their children and grandchildren, which is what was happening in the United States today. In the United States today, this vast national debt is being built up, which the children and grandchildren are going to have to pay. Somebody has to pay that debt. And it's not this generation. This generation is going for the pleasure at the expense of his children and grandchildren. Boy, the children and grandchildren are going to be angry. And yet the debt just piles up and up and up. It's not just $5 trillion. If you factor in everything, it's $19 trillion, going up at something like $10,000 a second. Incredible.
The average college graduate today is in debt $40,000 to $50,000 to government loans.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've got him by that. They've got him by the scruff of the neck. He's going to have to pay that off. Yeah. They got him where they want him. Don't get into debt. And if you're in debt, get out of debt as best you can, as fast as your legs can carry you. Otherwise, the bankers are going to own the roof over your head. And they will clean you out of all equity you put in that house. If you can't make those payments tomorrow, they will clean you out. They may leave you in the house because they don't want to get into real property, but they will be the owners of the house. And owning the roof over your head, they will control you.
There's more of a push on today to secure the money on equity.
There you are. There you are. There you are. Exactly. The banks are begging people to borrow on their homes in order that they will have that control. Don't get into it. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. For borrowing dulls the edge of husbandry, and loan doth oft lose both itself and friend, says Apollonius to Laertes. St. Paul says, owe no thing to any man except charity. Don't get into debt. If you're in debt, get out of it. Because that's a major instrument. And the poor dumb goyim, again, they can't see it. The poor dumb goyim just go for the goodies that, well, they can have if they go into debt.
The college system that you're speaking about, that with the debt of $40,000 to $50,000, that the United States government, by pressing the economics and raising it so high that people can't afford it, they have to get Pell Grants. So the government wins all the way by the interest in that money, plus mandates, okay, you want my money? I'm going to tell you the
deal. Yeah, that's absolutely The state is taking more and more control. In the home of the brave, in the land of the free, the state is just taking more and more control. And it's inevitable, and it's a basically spiritual problem. And it can only be solved by Catholicism. There's no other solution. This doctrine harmonizes the rights and duties of all, as we were seeing with Quas Primas, the kingship of Christ the King. It ensures even material prosperity. Why is America so prosperous? Because Americans worked hard yesterday. Why did Americans work hard yesterday? Because of their work ethic, which came from their religion. You don't agree, Mr. Perry?
No, I don't. I think Western industrial capitalism was built on the backs of the people we exploited around the world. This economic system is bankrupt. It was bankrupt from the beginning.
Yes, but that would not have been possible if industry hadn't been in a position to exploit. And industry would not have been in a position to exploit if Americans in those days hadn't worked hard. Americans used to work hard.
But the prosperity came off the backs of the Irish Catholics, and when we finally exploited them out, then we looked overseas. Capitalism is built on exploitation. Marx was right in his criticism of Western industrial capitalism. and when we run out of people to exploit, the system will collapse.
There's some truth in that, of course, but I don't think it's the whole truth, and the prosperity did rest upon a good deal of hard work, which came from religious values, and now that those religious values are no longer there, the hard work is disappearing, and more and more people go on welfare because they can live better on welfare than they can by hard working hard. Even non-Catholics and communists admit that the social doctrine of the Catholic Church is the best. By affirming the brotherhood of men, the Catholic Church has undermined slavery. It didn't attack slavery head-on. It would have antagonized the slave owners and it would have got nowhere. But it undermined slavery by teaching the slave owner to go to Mass and the slave to go to Mass. And when they were at Mass, they would be alongside and they would recognize that they were brothers at Mass. They were brothers. And that would change their relationship outside of Mass. It dignified manual labor by preaching St. Joseph, the glories of St. Joseph. The Catholic Church has brought into existence charities and admirable guilds, and it has rebuked error. The crumbling edifice of liberalism could only be raised by defying church doctrine. And that structure is now crumbling. So there is the power and the result of Catholicism created Christendom, it created modern society in everything that's good. And now the liberals are trying to run it without Catholicism, and that society is crumbling, is becoming a police state, inevitably a police state. The freedom was the fruit of Catholicism, and now they're trying to run it, the freedom without Catholicism, it just doesn't work. The freedom is disappearing, and the home of the brave and the land of the free is turning into a police state. It's inevitable. The solution is not more liberty, the solution is more Catholicism, more of the church. Right. Let's have a look. It needn't take too long, but there are one or two important paragraphs. The application, how to apply this church doctrine, how to get it into action. Firstly, it's urgent. Secondly, he gives the virtues which are to be practiced, and then a practical conclusion with a very important part. The church's teaching alone can save, but it must be put into practice. Let me tell all Catholics and even non-Catholics their duties. Firstly, Christians must convert. Catholics must take their faith seriously. Catholics must not think that their faith is an optional extra. It's icing on the cake. Catholicism is the cake, it's not the icing. And Catholics must realize that. We see signs of a renewal, but unfortunately we see many Catholics who were Catholics in name only. And that was the 1930s, and of course it was unfortunately true. The virtues, notice detachment, charity, justice, and social justice. And these virtues would solve the so-called social problem. Catholics must not be too attached to the material goods of this world. Communism preaches materialism. Communism goes for the goodies. Communism promises the goodies. The liberal bourgeoisie want the goodies. The liberal bourgeoisie finish up wanting communism. The rich must consider themselves stewards, in other words, simply the guardians of their wealth while they are rich. And the poor must be patient. And the church teaches the poor to be patient. Look, this life is not everything. The next life is what really matters. Be patient, endure. Our Lord was poor. It gives you an example. Money doesn't matter that much. Then to the rich, the church turns around and says, be careful of those riches. It's very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. This life isn't everything. The next life is everything. Are you, with that wealth, going to make it into heaven? It's going to be difficult for you. You might be very wise to give away all of that wealth. At least you must make wise use of it for the benefit of everybody and not just for your selfish benefit. That's how the church teaches the rich. And when it says those things to the rich and to the poor, everybody sort of stands off money. Back in the Middle Ages, you may remember the story of St. Bernard. St. Bernard went off to the monastery and left, threw away all his goods. And the mass of his brothers came with him. And there was one brother left behind. And the last brother came running along. Why should I be left with all the material goods? And you know, if people start giving the example of getting rid of their material goods, finally some dumb klutz says, well, why should you land them all on me? Instead of saying, yeah, I'll grab them all, he says, well, why? If you all want to get rid of them, they must be poison. Everybody then wants to give a good example, detachment. Not obviously trashing everything, but detachment. Material goods are not what so matters. That's the answer to communism. Communism works on everybody being too attached to the material goods. You working classes, you're being exploited. You don't have nice houses. You don't have swimming pools. We can promise you nice houses and swimming pools. Aha. Plastics. We'll give you all plastic. We'll give you plastic teeth, plastic guts, a plastic heart, plastic coffee, plastic sugar, a plastic mind. You'll be plastic from head to foot. Oh, wonderful. Real charity, patient, kind, and efficacious best proves that the church is with the workers. Of course it is. To practice charity, let everybody remember our Lord's solemn promise and warning that what you've done to the least of these, you do to me. That's the promise. And the warning is what you've not done to the least of these, you've not done to me. You've got to look after your fellow men. And if you've got more means with which to do it, then you must more do it. Your only excuse from doing it if you haven't got the means to do it. But every man must give what he has to his fellow men. To moderate expenses and to renounce today's plentiful pleasures is the road to true peace. However, no charity dispenses from the strict obligations of justice. Employers, listen on this question to the church and let the church speak to your workers. Because back in those days, there were plenty of employers who wouldn't allow the church doctrine to be taught to the employees, because then the employees would claim everything from the employers. But if the church can talk to the employers and the employees, the church can create peace. Why is the employer that lets the church talk to his employees? The common good requires each to receive what he needs to play his part. Now we move on to social justice. And so the worker must be paid enough to provide decently for his family. Hence, commercial competition must not prevent the ordinary worker from receiving this much. The Pope wants to put brakes on economic laissez-faire, or laissez-faire economics. The market rate must not alone be allowed to decide what wages men will receive. It must not be allowed alone to decide. To ensure justice and charity, Catholic corporations must be formed again, or another word for that is guilds. So those are the virtues. Practical conclusion. Catholic teaching on all these questions must be more widely known and studied. The Catholic press must teach the truth and uncover the enemy. Of course, the Catholic press today is in the hands of the enemy. Communists are now pretending to harmonize with Christianity. It's purely tactics. 57. Read 57. Because that's the classic example that the Pope notes, communism mutating in order to deceive its enemies. And when communism, in all its horror, raises a strong defensive reaction against it, then communism drops it, pretends to be nice and sweet. The big bad wolf hides his big teeth, and he comes up cooing and smarming to little Red Riding Hood. Oh, wolf, what nice big teeth you have. All are better to eat you with, my dear little Western civilization. Oh, they're very much succeeding. The West thinks communism's... All the West now thinks... Thanks to the media. Everybody now thinks communism is dead, it's rolled over, it's dead, it's finished, it's no longer nasty.
The Soviet democracy...
It's baloney. 58. Communism is a famous paragraph. Communism is intrinsically evil. No collaboration is possible. Pius XI had at last come to realize that. Just like you remember, many years before, Pius IX had realized it when he had to flee Rome, when he had seen his prime minister of the Pontifical States assassinated almost under his eyes, Count Rossi. The liberals assassinated his prime minister. Then Pius IX realized liberalism drips with blood. Then he understood. Pius XI, at last, between 1922, it took him 15 years, 1922 to 1937, Pius XI realized that communism drips with blood. It's intrinsically evil, and the Catholics cannot collaborate with it. No collaboration is possible. What goes on today? Non-stop collaboration. Oh. Catholics just don't know their right hands from their left. Communism is a devil.
Can we then support Clinton? What about the Chinese?
No, we must obey.
You must respect him as carrying the authority of God. But that doesn't mean to say that what the crazy things he says are true. Respect him as the authority, but that doesn't mean having to obey or having... So, it doesn't mean having to believe what he says is gospel truth. Yes, that's right. Exactly. Exactly. And that's a Catholic distinction between the office and the man. You respect the office. Respect for the office does not oblige you to respect the man. But it obliges you to moderate your disrespect for the man. You're going to put brakes on the expression of your disrespect for the man because he is the carrier of the office. That's the Catholic way. Communism is a devil which only prayer and penance can drive out. Again, if he says it's a devil, it's because it's a spiritual problem. And you can only understand it as a spiritual problem. The persons to apply this doctrine, firstly the clergy, notice firstly the clergy. The church is the salt of the earth, and the solutions to the world's problems must start out from the church. To apply these remedies, Jesus' frontline agents are his priests. Priests must today especially minister to the working men and to the poor. If the priests are out amongst the working men, communist propaganda will have no grip. Because the people, knowing the priests, will know that the communist propaganda is lies. The apostolate of winning back the laboring masses must have top priority. And the priest's own example of selfless poverty will do the most good. If the priests live in luxury, then the people will want luxury. If the priests live in comparative poverty, the people will learn that material goods are not all that don't matter all that much. Think of the Curie of Ars and the poverty he lived in. It was very, very edifying. People could understand with their eyes that material things didn't matter so much when they saw the holy priest living like that. As for the laity of Catholic Action must form soldiers of Christ for society. Catholic Action was an organization set up by Pius XI for the laity to have an apostolate. Individuals of Catholic Action will be the connection between the priests and the working classes, and Catholic Action as a whole will propagate Christian social principles. It will teach this doctrine, which dissolves communist errors. Even where the state has intervened, the Catholic spirit is still necessary. I'm sorry. We likewise encourage 67 all other groups working alongside Catholic Action. Let Catholics in all trades, groups, and professions spread Catholic principles. So teach these answers, and that's up to you, in your circles, wherever you are, all of you that are here today. Learn the Church's spiritual answers to these social problems, which are deep down spiritual problems. Even where the state has intervened, the Catholic spirit is still necessary. Especially working men must bring fellow workers back to Mother Church. In the welfare state, cold, impersonal, without charity, is not enough. And it's not going to make the working classes happy. The blacks are not happy just to pick up a welfare check. Of course they like a welfare check. But when it's done coldly and impersonally and meaninglessly, that's not going to make them happy. And the slave owner in the old days, or the slave owner's wife, who used to go around the plantation looking after all those little families with the little black children, that made the Negroes a lot more happy than today's welfare state checks. Because that was personal. It's what you call my imaginary slave state, slave owner's wife, was what they would call today a caring person. Even charity, the liberals can make a nonsense of. A caring person. What's wrong with caring persons? Anybody? They're usually liberal and they have no faith and therefore they have no real charity. If they have no faith, they have no real charity. It's all just humanism. Mother Teresa has charity, has faith and charity. She's made into a humanist, but there's more to a humanism. There's more than humanism to Mother Teresa. Her faith, the priests have got to her faith, and therefore, to that extent, they've got to her charity. But there's still there's a real Albanian peasant beneath all of that, with a real old-fashioned faith and charity beneath the overlay which these priests have all tipped out on her. I think, anyway. She's misled by the priests, but there's something prior. There's something in her much deeper than these later priests and the muck they've tipped onto her, I think. Let Catholics unite. Let no one dare help radicals by dividing Catholics. And in this war against God, let all believers in God collaborate on our side. In other words, we are Catholics, but let the Protestants realize that we have the answers and let them cooperate with us. Finally, the state. So that's what the laity must do. Finally, the state. The state is duty-bound to help the church in this, her spiritual battle. You may remember again, Christ the King. The best thing the state can do is help the church, guarantee the freedom of the church. That's the greatest favor the state can do to itself, is look after the Catholic Church. Because it will pacify the people and it will moderate the rulers. It will generate peace and harmony from top to bottom of society. If God is wiped out, all authority collapses. All states are destroyed. It's so true. People can't see that. They think they can set up a state with democracy. You can't. With sovereignty of the people, democracy. It won't work long term. It's just going to engender anarchy. So the state must ensure employment and control. The state must control unjust capitalists. The state must help to look after justice, to ensure justice. So the Pope is for a measure of state intervention. The state must use its power. It has the right and the duty to use its power up to a certain extent. Not as much as the socialists want, but nevertheless, not as little as the capitalists want. The capitalists on one side want too little state intervention, the socialists want too much, and you're just going to have endless war between the capitalists and the socialists, between capital and labor. The Catholic principles will solve that. The state must intervene some, yes, but only some, to ensure justice. The state must ensure employment and control unjust capitalists. Its employees, politicians, rich men must all seek first the common good. The employees of the state, the bureaucrats, the politicians and the rich men must not be out just to line their own pockets, obviously. The state must leave the church full freedom to fulfill her mission. Because, notice 78, crucial. To fight communism with mere politics or economics is bound to fail. And if the poor old United States, with good intentions, it's thrown money at communism all over the world, and it's simply made the weeds grow stronger. The problem is materialism. You can't solve materialism with more materialism. It's like throwing gasoline on a fire. The solution is therefore to look after the working classes, the poor and the oppressed, yes. But to think that alone, to fight communism with economics alone, is doomed to failure. Communism, if you fight it with economics alone, you're going to confirm in everybody's idea that money is what matters. If everybody is confirmed in money, they're going to be confirmed in materialism. If they're confirmed in materialism, they're confirmed in communism. You need to look after the people, as our Lord says, what you've not done to the least of these, you've not done to me. But the looking after is basically spiritual, before it's material. Help them save their souls, that's it. Of course, if they're starving, you've got to look after the body firstly to stop them starving, and then begin looking after their soul. I mean, you can't neglect the body, obviously. But the body is infinitely less important than the soul. To help the church secure heaven, guarantee its prosperity on earth. If the state will help the church to make sure everybody gets to heaven, that's exactly what will do most to ensure prosperity even down here on earth, says the Pope. It's true. Because people they won't want to grab everything. They will work. They will work for their family. They'll provide for their family. They will respect the property of others. You won't need so many police. You won't need so much state control. People naturally harmonize. There's a natural prosperity. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. All of these things will be added unto you, says our Lord. And that's where the prosperity all came from originally. As for communists, let them abandon their present path to universal ruin. So there is the Pope. Some of that is out of date, but notice 58. And 57. Communists are now pretending to harmonize with Christianity. Let's look at 57, because that's the paragraph that says most about communism in its present form. It's quite a big paragraph. Page 11. On this point, we've already insisted in our allocution of May 12th, but we believe it to be a duty of special urgency, venerable brethren, to call your attention to once again. In the beginning, communism showed itself for what it was in all its perversity, but very soon it realized that it was alienating the people and raising resistance. It therefore changed its tactics. It strives to entice the multitudes by trickery of various forms, hiding its real designs behind ideas that in themselves are good and attractive. An appearance of good, but behind is the tiger. Thus, aware of the universal desire for peace, the leaders of communism pretend to be the most zealous promoters and propagandists in the movement for world friendship and peace. Yet at the same time, they stir up class warfare, causing rivers of blood to flow. And realizing that their system offers no internal guarantee of peace, they have recourse to unlimited armaments. They establish organizations and periodicals with the sole purpose of carrying their ideas into quarters otherwise inaccessible. They try perfidiously to worm their way even into professedly Catholic and religious organizations. Again, without receding an inch from their subversive principles, they invite Catholics to collaborate in the realm of so-called humanitarianism and charity, and even make proposals in perfect harmony with the Christian spirit and the doctrine of the Church. You've now got Gorbachev, based in the United States, operating greenery, the environmentalism. Yeah? Out of San Francisco, yes. Operate inside the United States, free to go where he likes. And setting up this communist organization, which is working for communist goals, the triumph of the New World Order, by environmentalism. Communism has changed its tactics, it's environmentalism. Some of you have heard the gag about environmentalism is like a watermelon. It's green on the outside, but it's all red inside. But remember that communism is basically the godless revolution. The revolution to make godlessness triumph, to get rid of God and make man create paradise on his own. That's basically communism. Communism is not Stalin. It's the final overthrow of Christianity and its replacement with man's own paradise on earth. That's communism. And that is obviously environmentalism. They carry their hypocrisy so far as to encourage the belief that communism in countries where faith and culture are more strongly entrenched will assume another much milder form. Communism will not interfere with the practice of religion. Ha ha. It will respect liberty of conscience, like the big bad wolf. There are some even who refer to certain changes recently introduced into Soviet legislation as a proof. Communism is about to abandon its program of war against God. No way. Gorbachev said in... Oh, yes, 1989. Gorbachev said, we remain faithful to our Leninist heritage, but by means of perestroika, that was a sort of updating of communism, we are seeking to pursue the realization of Lenin's concept of socialism by exploiting the experience of our country and all mankind's civilization, whatever be the social systems prevailing. In other words, you know, we're adapting. We're adapting. In October 1917, we broke with the old world, rejecting it once and for all. We are progressing towards a new world, the world of communism. Never will we turn back. Gorbachev speaking in 1989 again. Never will we turn back. Our global objective is the victory of communism. Gorbachev in 1987. We will not turn off the path we have laid down, and we will maintain our attachment to socialist ideas. The communists themselves are very clear on what they're up to, and they're not changing. And so any appearance of change is just basically appearance, designed to deceive the soft and decadent West.